Do you want to know what makes an eyelid grow? Then everybody watch the Dean Show. The Dean Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. We are here with Dr. Mohammed Mahdou, the former professor from the Johns Hopkins University. And you can read a little bit more about him at thedeanshow.com. He has his own section there. And we're continuing on talking about the verbatim Word of God. Now, in previous episodes, we talked about the compilation of the Quran. We're going to talk about some of the miracles of this Quran, the verbatim Word of the one who created us, the one who gave us life, who gave us death, who we're going to have to return back to, the one who's going to judge us. And at the end, if we do everything that he's told us to do, if we live by this Quran, then we have the beautiful reward of paradise. And if we don't, then you're smart enough to figure out what is opposite to that. So let's talk when we come back more about the Quran. You don't want to go nowhere. I don't know why I did that. Maybe it's just to break the ice. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah, wonderful. How about you?
Alhamdulillah, thank you for being with us again.
Thank you for hosting me.
Thank you. Listen, we talked about, and we're continuing to talk about, something that is a guidance for the whole of mankind. The verbatim word of the creator of the heavens and the earth. In Arabic, we say Allah. In previous episodes, we talked about the compilation of the Quran. In this episode, we want to talk about some of the miracles. But before we go on to that, can you just summarize a little bit about what we discussed in the previous episodes about the Quran?
Okay. We said that, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirmed in the Quran that He will keep the Quran safe, unchanged. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled His promise, as He always does His promise. And alhamdulillah, we have the proof now. If you go everywhere in the world, on the mountains of Suzuki of Japan,
yeah,
or in the valleys of Jakarta, or if you go to Arizona, if you go to any place in the world.
If there are people on the moon, it'd be the same thing.
Of course, if there are people there, of course, there were some people who were there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you will find the same copy of the Quran.
Nothing different.
Nothing different. Mm-hmm. Had there been, let me raise this question for everyone who would really love to have reflection upon the Quran. Had there been two copies at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, or even at the time of the companions, there would have been these two copies nowadays. We don't know any single copy that's different from the other. It's the same Quran. And this is an example that you can see in Mecca, when at least 500,000 people, mm-hmm, praying behind the Imam in Mecca. And if he makes a mistake, everybody in the masjid would respond to correct him.
So that's that, just for our non-Muslim audience, if the Quran is something that we recite during the prayer.
Yes, absolutely.
So if he makes a mistake, somebody from the back is going to correct him.
Yeah, if it is a woman, and that's why, if she can make a sign like that,
yeah,
to correct him, that means he made a mistake. Nobody has authority on the Quran. Nobody has full control on the Quran in terms of that, yeah, he can make any change. Uh-huh. This among the Muslims. And you can see that there is nowhere in the world that you would find somebody is reading something different. Mm-hmm. This is the power. As I said that in the previous time, that there are approximately more than 9 million people who memorize the Quran from cover to cover. And this number is increasing day after day. And I assume that they are exceeding more than 10 million nowadays, everywhere in the world. And every Muslim and Muslima memorizes part of the Quran, because this is the portion that we use in our daily prayer. Mm-hmm. But I'm not talking about those. Every Muslim memorizes part of it. But I'm talking about those who memorize it from cover to cover. 604 pages. We have at least 10 million people on the earth who memorize it. And that's why Muslims are proud to say that if some invention that happens in this world, that somebody invented a material to erase all the writings from the books, if we happens that we open all the books in our life and we find them blank, all the ink, all the printing had been erased. Muslim would say that in just few days, in every village and in every city in the world, the Quran can be rewritten as it was. The only book that can be rewritten as it was is the Quran.
That's enough right there have someone reflect and say, hold on, someone wants to bring any arguments, this is something that puts everything to rest. There's no other scripture right now.
No other scripture, no other book, and no other constitution, no other thing like that.
Nothing.
Absolutely.
So tell us now, what does the creator of the heavens and the earth, in Arabic we say Allah, this is the same God of Jesus,
of course,
Moses, Abraham,
of everything.
Yeah. Tell us, through this Quran, he says this is a guidance for mankind.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What does this mean? What does he want from us?
Yeah. He said that in our life, we face some issues and some problems and some situations that we need guidance. We don't know what to do. In every situation, we don't know what's right and what's wrong. What to drink, what to eat, what not to drink, what to not to eat, how to deal with your parents, what rights do your parents have upon you, what rights your spouse has upon you, what rights do your children have upon you, what rights the ruler or the governor of your country has upon you. Everyone, how can you answer this question? And you will find a lot of people are making some suggestions and some options with all the investment and all the investigation and all the research, and they come up with things and they experiment with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have it ready-made, divine sent to us from the Quran. It just guides you to the right thing. From the very beginning in the Quran that you would see that. Now let me talk about this a little bit, how the Quran is different from other books in the world, whether they are man-made written books or some books that are claimed by the people who believe in them that they are divine books. You can see the difference. When you see the Quran, first of all, the Quran, as defined by the Muslim, is the summary of the history of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Since the creation of the pen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded it to write, until the end of the world, then the day of judgment and the resurrection and what will happen in the future. Yes, there is no other book in the whole world that covers this span of time. No other book. Just compare it with any other book. With all these details that's going to happen, that are going to happen on the day of judgment and in paradise and in hellfire, with all these details, there's nothing is in comparison with the Quran. Nothing is comparable to the Quran. So now you find, and this Quran that sums up the history of humanity is summed up in the beginning chapter, which is called the opening, which is called Al-Fatiha, the opening, the mother of the book. It's called the mother of the book.
If you don't mind, can you, we're going to give the translation, but can you just take a second and recite this in the Arabic? Can you do that?
Of course.
Go ahead, please.
Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Ameen. Beautiful, mashallah, mashallah. Same way it was recited then, it's recited today by your mouth.
Absolutely, by my mouth. But every Muslim would recite this. Same no way. Muslim on the earth who...
You go to China, if you don't speak Chinese, if you're in the prayer, you can know what this is.
He would recite this in Arabic, in pure Arabic.
And people
Arabic
saw how beautiful with the translation we just gave him. Absolutely. This is directing all worship to the Creator, seeking guidance from him.
Yeah. Absolutely. From the very beginning, if I have the time to elaborate on this, and we can do this, inshallah, after the break.
Yeah. That's it. We're going to take a break. And we'll be right back with Dr. Mandu on the Deen Show.
You have to pray as if everything depends on Allah, and it does. But you must work as if everything depends on you, and it doesn't. That's my point. You see what I'm saying? And I don't like that. I don't like us sitting here. What are you waiting for? What are we waiting for right now? What are we waiting for all these people to come to Islam? What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for right now? When they're going to come? They're going to come, Allah going to bring these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in our hand the ability to do it. Now do your job.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalam.
Back here on the Deen Show. Please continue on. Talking about the miraculous Quran.
Yeah, let me elaborate on this opening chapter.
Yeah.
Just very limited number of verses. So at the beginning of it, it says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, which means all praise is due to Almighty Allah.
That's the creator of the heavens and the earth.
Absolutely.
Creator of Jesus, Moses, Abraham, the one who created the sun and the moon.
Yeah.
That's the God.
Now, this is the one.
Yeah.
You see this verse, four words. Alhamdulillah, for Allah, praise is for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Now look at this word, four words. You can never ever find any four words in any language in the world put beside each other to make this comprehensive meaning. Let me elaborate on this. Mm-hmm. First of all, Alhamdu, all praise is due to Almighty Allah. Person would say that you're thanking someone before you know him. Mm-hmm. This may raise a question in the minds of many people. How do you thank someone who you don't know him? And this is a very legitimate question, very good logical question. And the answer is, if you reflect upon what is around you and what's in you, and you see the heavens, you see the skies, and you see the trees, and you see the rivers, and you see the mountains, and you see the Milky Way, and you see the planets, and you see the galaxies, and you see all this, you immediately say that there is a creator. Mm-hmm. When you look into yourself, the organs in yourself, the hands that move, the eyes that see, the ears that listen, the heart that moves, the 3 trillion living cells in your body, you would immediately say there's a creator and you need to thank him for all these blessings, for the water you drink, for the oxygen that you inhale, for everything that you have, for the eyes that help you see what's around you, and for everything. Immediately, you realize that there is a creator. And the first thing that you need to know, you need to thank him for everything that you have, because without him, how can you enjoy this life?
How can
you exist in this life without him? So that's why the first word is Alhamdulillah. And you cannot imagine the comfort that comes to the heart of a human being who believes in that when he says Alhamdulillah. That's why even you find Muslims, when they confront calamities and disasters and crises in this world, and when you ask them, how are you? They would say Alhamdulillah. Even he had lost his job, had lost his house, his farm was burned, anything, any calamity, any situation, he would say Alhamdulillah. And as in some cultures they say it, it could have been worse.
Yeah.
They know that. So now he deserves Alhamdulillah. And who is he? Allah. They said Alhamdulillah. All praise is due to Almighty Allah. And the word Allah is so unique. At first, it's the proper noun, the proper name of Almighty Allah. His name, my name is Mamduh Muhammad, your name is Eddie, his name is Hassan Asiri, and his name, the Lord, the name of the Lord is Allah. And this word Allah includes all the attributes of Almighty Allah. the 99 names and beautiful names and attributes of Allah are embedded in this word. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine how comprehensive this is. The merciful, the most compassionate, the all-knowing, the all-hearing, the all-wise, the most wise. And with all these are embedded in the word Allah. You can see how comprehensive the meaning is. And then, what is the definition of, this is now one name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other attribute that's mentioned here, name, is Rabbul Alameen. He is the Lord of the world. He is the Lord of the Muslims. He is the Lord of the Christians. He is the Lord of the Jews. He is the Lord of the Hindus. He is the Lord of all humans. He is the Lord of all animals. He is the Lord of all planets. He is the Lord of the oxygen. He is the Lord of the rivers. He is the Lord of the trees. Mm-hmm. He is the Lord of everything. And now, when you say this, that He is the Lord of all the worlds, the world of humans, the world of energy, the world of atoms, the world of everything. He is the Lord of all that. Immediately there's an impact on your heart. Immediately you would say, this is the one that I have been looking for. Mm-hmm. He's not the Lord of the Hindus. He's not the Lord of the Christians. He's not just the Lord of the Muslims. He's the Lord of all the worlds. Mm-hmm. There is nothing greater than Him. And this has become so beautiful when you hear the word Allahu Akbar. God is greater. And you see from this linguistic comparative, it's called comparative degree. He's greater. And the sentence seems that it's not complete, but it is complete. He's greater than anything else that you can think
anything
of.
That you can anything you can imagine, think of. He's greater than all of that.
He's greater than all of mm-hmm. it. That's why Allah is greater. And some people would even translate it, is the greatest. But we love to hear it because it's in Arabic, it's comparative. It says that Allah is greater. Greater than anything that you may think of.
So is it out of His love and mercy that He sent this Quran as a guidance?
Absolutely. And even after the opening of the book, the first chapter defines the book that this is a book of guidance. But before it says it, the book of guidance, it has another statement before this. It says that this book, there is no doubt in it. There is no error in it. There is no flaw in it. There is no mistake in it. There is no skepticism in it. From the very beginning, it tells you before you read. Yeah. And by the way, these words in the beginning, which is, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. They are five words in Arabic. Yeah. That this book, there is no doubt in it. If you compare it with the books in the world, with the 35 million books and items that are on the shelves of the Library of Congress, you would find nothing similar to this. Nobody dares to say that his book has no error in it or no doubt in it. No one.
Usually the author is doing the opposite.
Absolutely.
Forgive me if I made a mistake here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they say that this is to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
And as authors and as writers know that, the first thing that you fear, that once you finish writing the book and it is printed, you start being showered by phone calls and by emails and people finding some comments and some flaws and some mistakes in your writing. You say that, I wish I couldn't have written.
It's too late now. It's on the shelf.
It's too late. It's late.
Yeah.
So even I know of a person himself in the Virginia area that who became a Muslim because of these words, mm-hmm. that this book has no doubt in it. He said, immediately, this book should be the book of the Creator. And his friends asked him, it's too quick and too hasty to make this question, to make this conclusion. And he said, no. I have read approximately 200 books. Some of them are called divine books and some of them are man-made books. And he said that I've never found somebody saying in his book that his book has no doubt or no skepticism in it.
That's profound. That can only be from the Creator.
If somebody, he said, this is exactly his words. He said, if somebody dares to say that his book has no flaw in it, has no skepticism in it, has no doubt in it, has no mistake in it, should be only the creator. Mm-hmm. And this way, alhamdulillah, he became a Muslim. And this is another sign that this book is guidance for people. You see the effect of these words? Mm-hmm. Just five words. And what's more striking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself called these verses in the Quran, called them ayat. Ayat in Arabic means proof and evidence. That means that every ayah, every verse, every one or two, three words together in the Quran that composes a verse is a sign, is a proof that it is from God and it's not from someone else.
That's what it actually means in the Arabic.
Exactly.
Proof, evidence.
Proof and evidence. This is the meaning of the word ayah. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called these verses proofs. That means proofs from Almighty Allah. And as I told you earlier, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked people to challenge the Quran. Just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not challenging them, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guiding people. Is guiding people to think and reflect upon the Quran. Can we make something similar to it? If you can, so it's no longer the Quran. We will believe in the book that you are going to write if you challenge the Quran. And the Arabs willingly accepted the challenge and they started writing, thinking. And you know that the Arabs were the best speakers, the perfectionists of their language. They could, instead of talking prose, they can talk poetry. They were masters of the language. We've never ever known any other nation that perfected the language like the Arabs. There are hundreds and tens of examples, and this is not the time to talk about it. They accepted the challenge and they started making research and making thinking and writing something similar. And they started bringing it to consult each other. How do you see this? And they started laughing at each other. How do you dare saying that? And the Quran is seeing it in that perfect way. Mm-hmm. And even to the effect that some Arabs were were afraid to be affected by the Quran. So some of them, when they visited the Prophet ﷺ and they wanted to observe them, to monitor them, they used to put something in their ears to plug their ears to prevent themselves from listening to the Quran. And one of the leaders said that, okay, let me test this. I will take this. I'm a leader of my tribe. Why am I behaving like a child? So he gave himself the opportunity to listen to the Quran. And immediately the effect appeared on him. When he went back to his tribe, the people saw him from distance and they said, look at him, he came with a different face. And this was the effect of the Quran on him because he understood the language and he had seen and tasted how beautiful the language of the Quran was.
We're going to cut out and take a break and we'll be right back with more of this miraculous book, the Quran.
I just want to say, very simple message. He is the
maintainer. One of the beautiful things about our religion of Islam is the emphasis on direct ritual and prayer to God directly. There is no intermediary.
The lights will go on after the party and the party will end.
It's very simple and very clear. There are no superstitious rituals, no strange incantations.
Time is running out. We might not make it till tomorrow. And this is something that we need to think about.
Dr. Madhu, can you continue elaborating on the opening chapter of the verbatim word of God, the Quran?
Okay. And I'm going to do that, but before that, I just want to go back to the first verse in the chapter in Surah Al-Baqarah that I was talking about, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after comforting the hearts of the people, that this book has no doubt in it and no skepticism in it and no error in it, no flaw in it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined the book. Said, what type of book is the Quran? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, hudan lil muttaqin. It's guidance for those who believe in it. And in another verse, he said that, it's guidance for mankind. And inshallah, in one of the coming episodes, I will elaborate and give examples that how the Quran is addressing all human beings. It's not just for the Muslims.
This important point, you just said that it is a guidance for the people. There's a criteria here.
Of course, the criteria. First of all, in another verse, it says that it's guidance for all human beings.
Yeah.
So if you belong to any other religion, if you belong to any other ideology and you are seeking guidance, what is the answer for this problem? You go to the Quran and you will find the answer there. And this is how most of the people, by the way, became Muslims. Most of them, they have something in common. They would say that we found the answer in that book.
But you have to want it. Is that a criteria? Like if you're talking about a beautiful car and I'm not in the market, so you have to be in the market for wanting to be guided by the one who created you. You have to want it?
Of course, you should be. First of all, you should be sincere.
Sincere, humble.
Sincere in looking for the truth.
Yeah.
Sincere and unbiased. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this in the Quran. If you are sincere in looking for the truth, I will definitely guide you through that.
But if you got too many other things preoccupying your mind, you're not even thinking about money, the dollar, that's all that's on your mind.
Or if you are just reading the Quran to find some mistakes and from this perspective, you will not be guided.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to be sincere that you are looking for the truth. And if you have this condition, if you have this state of the heart in you, you will be guided.
Open mind, open heart.
Open-minded, open-hearted, neutral, unbiased. Read, think,
ponder, reflect,
ponder, and you will find that guidance is coming to you. Mm-hmm. And that's what most of the people who were guided to Islam, they would say that when we read the Quran, we found the answers to many things that, even by the way, the people who, when they listen to the Quran and they don't know that this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would find that they are affected by this.
Tell us, let me interject, because some people have a misnotion. They think, okay, that we're guided now, and some people, they feel like some spirit's going to come in you and you'll be start talking in some foreign tongues and that. What are we talking about when we say
absolutely
guided?
Yeah,
elaborate
this
on
this. I think a very good question. I think when we say that it guided, you're looking for the answer for a question, you don't have the answer. What should I do in this situation? What should I do? How would I use the money? How would I use the organs that I have in my body?
It's logical.
It's very logical.
Yeah.
What is the best way to use my ears? What should I listen to?
Mm.
Should I listen to this or this or this? What should I listen to?
So it's nothing weird.
Use my eyes in the correct way.
Uh-huh.
How to use my tongue in the correct way. How even to use the money that I have. Because a lot of people think that really this is their money. It's something we Muslims believe that Allah entrusted us with this money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the cause that for this you to be rich. Yes, you did some part of the work. You exerted an effort. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who really caused you. For example, look at someone who is like Bill Gates, for example.
Yeah.
One of the richest, if not the richest person in the world.
Yeah.
Had education been the cause for him to be rich, he wouldn't have been rich. He left the university. He didn't complete his BSc or his master. He was, of course, a student learning from all his professors. And after just a few years, he hired his professors to work with him, and he did not complete his education. He did not finish his education, his degree. But he's the richest person in the world. Is he the smartest person in the world? I doubt that. But it is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that made him and not somebody else rich. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is observing Bill Gates and observing Mamdouh and observing Eddie and observing everyone, how you are going to use this money. Are you going to use it in the way that pleases Almighty Allah, the most beneficial way that to help people in the world? Or are you going to misuse it and abuse the money and use it in bad things? So this, the Quran guides you when I answering these questions. It opens up your heart day after day that you are looking for the truth. Oh, now I know the right way. And we can talk about hundreds of examples in this again and again. And this is my tip and my advice to everybody, to the viewers and to the listeners, just to take your time and open your heart. Read the Quran. Don't read all of it. I don't advise you at all. Just read one chapter. Just read the first part of it, the second, and see, and compare it with other books. And you see, you would immediately see the difference. Once you see the difference, you would know that this is the book, the only book that was safe, kept safe from Almighty Allah, and it is guidance for people if you are sincere in seeking guidance.
We look forward, God willing, to having you back here on the Dean Show. Thank you very much. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Dean Show. Come back here every week where we try to clear up some of the misconceptions. We've been talking about the Quran. If you didn't see parts 1 and 2 with the Dr. Sheikh Muhammad Mahdou, you can go to thedeanshow.com. And in this episode, we talked about some of the miraculous nature of the Quran. It's a guidance, not just for the Muslim, but for the non-Muslim, for all of mankind. And the teacher, just like Moses, Jesus, these messengers that were sent by the Creator of the heavens and earth with the last and final message of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, they were all teachers. And he was the one that was showing us how to live the Quran. So, to learn more, make sure to come back here every week. Visit us at The Dean Show. Until next time, peace be unto you.
You have to pray as if everything depends on Allah, and it does. But you must work as if everything depends on you, and it doesn't. That's my point. You see what I'm saying, man? And I don't like that. I don't like us sitting here. What are you waiting for? What are we waiting for right now? What are we waiting for all these people to come to Islam? What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for right now? When they're going to come? They're going to come, Allah going to bring these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in our hand the ability to do it. Now do your job.
It's cold, it's late, everybody's sleeping. I arise and ask Allah to forgive me. Oh Allah, you see, oh Allah, you know, all the sins I do. I turn to you to forgive my sins and my heart. I'm your sinful slave, you're my loving Lord. I'm the one who runs away, oh Allah, guide me.